in the same. Don't miss the. You're gonna need a bigger. There you go. And don't rock the. Oh, yeah. You guys are getting us down. If I ever do this throughout this message, you're going to say. Okay, you got this. Now, that last phrase we just said, don't rock the boat, usually involves saying, hey, let's keep things settled. Let's keep things the same. Because if you start tipping the boat back and forth, it's going to get unstable and someone may fall overboard. In the Message translation of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, it says this, that our firm decision is to work from this focus center. One man died for everyone, and that places everyone in the same. That's right. And when it comes to our relationship with God, we are not supposed to stay the same. We're not supposed to just keep things the way they are. We're supposed to be challenged. We're supposed to grow in our relationship. We're supposed to go to our next level. So when it comes to this relationship with God, we really do want to rock the. You got it. Today, our goal is to ask and to answer this question. Are you withholding forgiveness? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you an opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your phones, pull up the YouVersion Bible app, and go ahead and turn with me to Jonah chapter 1. Now, the words are going to be up on the screen that I'm about to read, but we'd like for you to look it up so that later on you can read the whole story in the Bible for yourself. And actually, I challenge you. Will you read the whole book of Jonah? It's only 4 chapters long. It's kind of short. But in order to understand Jonah, let me give you a little bit of history of what's going on. Jonah is a prophet of Israel. He's considered one of the minor prophets. And that means that he simply hears from God and he gives God's messages. So God gives him a message. He goes and proclaims it out to the people of Israel. And so he knows God. He understands God. He obeys God. He listens to God. He does what God tells him to do, except for this day. As recorded in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, everything changes for Jonah. Let's read it. It says this, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked the people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa where he found a ship or a boat leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship or apart. Fearing for the lives of desperate sailors, they shouted to their gods for help, and they threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, as we're challenged with this idea of forgiveness, God, I pray that you speak to us, that you challenge us, and that we change. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. When I was in elementary school, my family moved to a new house in Florida, and this house had a lake in the backyard. It was awesome. And right away, my dad did something. He was so excited. He came in and announced, he said, guess what? I just bought a John boat. And I'm like, whose boat? I didn't understand what it was, but he was excited. And he's like, Ryan, I'm going to take you out in my boat, and we're going to go fishing. And so because the lake was right in our backyard, it was easy to take the boat out and to go fishing. And I remember one time my mom taking a picture, and I'm little, and I have a life preserver on in the boat. And I'm not talking about the cool vests they have nowadays with the zippers. I'm talking about the monstrosity orange things that look like they're beheading you. you know, like with the white straps and everything. And I'm like, yeah, and I'm holding a fish and I got a ball cap on. I'm just as happy as could be in the, that's right. Now, my dad, as I grew, he said, Ryan, I'm giving you more responsibility in the boat. You're going to get to steer the boat. It had a little trolling motor on the back. You're like, this is awesome. And I quickly learned that in order to go right, I had to go left. In order to go left, I had to go right. Just like Cars the movie. But I became an expert at moving that boat all around the lake. And one day, my dad said, Ryan, let's go to the other side of the lake. You see, on one side of the lake, there was houses. On the other side of the lake, there was a forest. And on the other side, there were beavers, and my dad wanted us to get close to them. He was telling me all about beavers. He said, you know, beavers have a way of communicating to each other, and we're going to see if we can see it happen. And so I took the motor, steered us over to the other side, and Dad said, kill the motor. He got out his wooden oar and just paddled our John boat. As we went along the shore, and all of a sudden, my dad said, shh, Ryan, look. And there in the water was a beaver. It was swimming. It was so cool. And then my dad, he took the wooden paddle, and he laid it flat above the water, and he went, psh, and splashed it in the water, and went slap. Now, I wasn't quite sure what he was doing with this, but he had already explained it. He said, remember, beavers have this way of communicating about danger. And the way they do that, if they see danger, they hear danger, they know about danger, they communicate by taking their big old tails and slapping against the water to communicate to other beavers. Well, my dad saw this beaver. He took the oar of the boat, and he slapped the water. And then the beaver slapped its tail. And then we heard another beaver slap their tail, and another beaver slap, slap. All the beavers communicating. I was so proud of my dad. I had the coolest dad. I didn't realize my dad was a beaver expert. And speaking of experts, let me tell you another expert that we just read about, Jonah. Jonah was an expert when it came to God. He heard from God. He saw God do what he said he would do. And except for this particular day, everything changed. He got a message from God that God was going to send him to go talk to the people of a city that he was going to destroy. He was supposed to deliver this message to let them know, hey, by the way, you're being destroyed. But instead of traveling to that town, Jonah ran. He found the nearest boat going in the opposite direction, and he fled. He chose not to deliver God's message. Why? Why would he do this? Let me tell you. Because Jonah didn't want God to forgive the Ninevites. But wait, that wasn't the message that God gave to Jonah. He didn't talk about forgiveness, right? No, he talked about destruction. Boom! Kind of like we saw in that human video just a few moments ago. Destruction. That was the message, and yet, wait, this doesn't make sense, or does it? At this point, we got to put our detective hats on and do a little sleuthing here and figure out what is going on. And if you were to take the time to read all four chapters of Jonah, you get some more clues here. So, like, who's Nineveh? What's Nineveh? Well, Nineveh was the capital city of a country known as Assyria. The town at the time had 120,000 people living in this town, which at that day and age, that was a lot of people, probably one of the biggest cities in the area. And the Assyrians, they were horrible people. They were so mean. They were actually enemies of Israel. And they were known for their atrocities. They were known for their torture and how they treated other people. And Jonah knew these things. He knew, oh yeah, those Ninevites, the Assyrians, they're bad. I would even venture to say that the way how Jonah reacted in the situation as recorded in the Bible, that it wasn't just the fact that they were enemies of another country. I would say he probably was personally affected by the atrocities that the Ninevites have done. That's just my guess. But his actions say, whoa, there's something going on here. But Jonah, he also knew God. And Jonah figured out that if he went to Nineveh, shared this message of impending doom, that they would be sorry. They would repent before God. And God, oh, God, he just always forgives. And then he won't destroy them. And he didn't want that to happen. And that's exactly what did happen. You see, although Jonah ran away in a boat, there was something involving throwing into the sea some sort of fish, and he ended up back at Nineveh. Excuse me. Has anybody ever heard of these two words together, Jonah and whale? You've heard of that? Well, let me just tell you, if you were to read the book of Jonah, there's no word known as whale in the Bible. What? Now you're intrigued. Now you're going to read, right? It just says big fish. And it had to be big enough to swallow a guy and him still be alive in the belly. So what kind of fish probably was it? Okay, we can make that inference that maybe with our sleuthing hats, it might have been a whale. But it just never says whale. But he does go give the message. He talks to the Ninevites saying, hey guys, you're horrible. And God has told me he's going to destroy you. And sure enough, you know what they did? They repented. They said, God, we're so sorry. Please don't destroy us. And you know what God did? He heard them and he said, I forgive you. And then God decided, I'm not going to destroy you. And you know what? Jonah's like, God, I knew you would do this. And he complains about it. We see this in Jonah chapter 4. Jonah complaining about God's forgiveness. Here's what he says. He said, didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, God? That's why I ran away on a boat to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God. You're slow to anger. You're filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. You see, Jonah didn't want the evil people to be forgiven. And he used a boat to try to stop God from forgiving the Ninevites. He tried to say, hey, if that's your plan, God, I'm going to make sure that that's what you do. I'm going to make sure they get what they deserve. I'm going to make sure that they get punished. I'm going to make sure that justice is served here today. And we listen to that, and we're like, whoa, this Jonah guy's messed up, isn't he? Like, why would he think that? I mean, wasn't he a follower of Jesus? I mean, he's a follower of God. He heard from God. Today, as I was getting ready for church this morning, there was the news on, and they were doing a segment of just how drug addiction is a big problem in America. And as a part of that, they were interviewing a mom that they had on the sets in the news program. And this mom says this, and it blew me away that she would say this. Here's what she said. She was talking about her daughter who's been addicted to drugs and been making poor life decisions for 20-plus years. And this mom says, you know, I am a Christian, and I know I'm supposed to forgive, but I will never forgive my daughter for what she's done. You see, we look at Jonah, we look at Monster Mom on the news, and we're like, whoa, they got it. That's bad, that's horrible. But yet we do this. We feel the same way too. That when it comes to someone who hurts us or hurts our family, we're like, you shouldn't have done that. You just crossed the line. You're going to pay for that. And we want to punish, and we want to hurt, and we want revenge because they wronged us. They hurt us. They caused pain. And we want them to get what they deserve. And forgiveness? No way, Jose, no. That's off the table. It's not even on the menu. But it's been said that withholding forgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting another person to die. You see, forgiveness is God's nature. And if we're going to rock the boat and grow in our relationship with God, we're going to need to forgive like God forgives. You see, forgiveness is the key to going to your next level with God. Jesus said it himself as recorded in Matthew chapter 6. Here's what Jesus says. He says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Whoa, that's Jesus talking. As Jesus put it, withholding forgiveness only hurts you. You see, you can block God's forgiveness of your sins by withholding forgiveness from someone else. But you're there, like there, you're thinking right now, but Pastor, you don't know how they wronged me. You don't know what they did. It was horrible. You haven't met my ex. You don't know my son. You don't know my daughter. You don't know my brother. Oh, there's no way I would ever forgive them. They've gone too far. They've done too much. We put conditions. We say, I will only consider it if they're sorry. And I'm not talking fake sorry, just word sorry, like really, truly sorry. Maybe I'll consider it. One day, Peter, he approached Jesus. He said, Jesus, I got a question. How many times am I supposed to forgive the same person in a day? And he was looking for a limit. He was looking for like, please, God, like this person must have been really getting on Peter. Sir, what would a person have to be doing to Peter for Peter to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, like, is 7 times in one day the limit to how many times I got to forgive the same person for the same thing? Wow. He wanted a stopping point. Like, where is he justified in, like, hey, I've done extra? But Jesus replied in Matthew chapter 18. Here's what Jesus said. He said, no, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Now, can anyone do that math for me real quick? How many times is that? 490. Okay, so if a person sleeps 8 hours a day, how many hours are they awake in a day? 16. Okay, just making sure you are really math geniuses. Okay. And if you're going to forgive someone 490 times in a day, in a 16-hour day, do you realize that you're forgiving that person just under every 2 minutes? Whoa. I think that's like overboard. That's like a little too much. I mean, what is this person doing to you that they need to be forgiven 1.95 minutes every day? Over, 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 over. Wow. I mean, is it possible to forgive someone like that? Is it possible that we can keep our relationship with God from going to the next level by not forgiving? I mean, is this forgiveness something that really is the key to moving forward with God in our lives? I want to share with you a story of someone who's a part of this church family. Her name is Lexi, and she came forward. She said, Pastor, I need to share this story of how God's changed my life, and it has to do with forgiveness. And I want you to watch and see what's happened in her life, in her own words. Find out how this idea of forgiveness changed everything for Lexi. Let's take a look.
Hi, my name's Lexi, and this is my story. I grew up a daddy's girl. I played every sport imaginable, and my dad coached all my teams. I loved spending quality time with him, and it was amazing. When I was 13, my dad cheated on my mom, and this was hard being a 13-year-old because I just understood and knew everything that was going on. Shortly after that, he ended up moving to Missouri to live with the woman he cheated on my mom with. And this was hard to cope with because I felt like my dad was choosing to leave his daughter. I started having a lot of hatred and negative thoughts towards my dad. I felt like he was blaming me for a lot of his own mistakes, and I felt replaced. This woman had two kids of her own, and I just, the more he grew love for them, I felt like the love for me and my brother was diminishing. I felt worthless, I felt broken, and I really didn't have a relationship with God. I would go to church on Sunday, and it was more of a check something off the to-do list than really have a relationship with him. Me and my dad would go months without talking, and when we did talk, it would just turn into a screaming match. I started to feel like if my own dad didn't love me, how could anyone love me? I fell into a dark place, and my mom ended up putting me in therapy because I was having suicidal thoughts. I remember telling my dad this, and his response felt like he didn't care if I was here or not. About 2 years ago, Pastor Ryan was preaching about forgiveness. And at the beginning of the service, I didn't really expect anything to come out of it. But by the end, I was bawling my eyes out. I realized that I had to forgive my dad. And in that moment, it felt impossible. I left service realizing what I had to do, but had no idea how I was going to do it. And once I finally realized I need to forgive my dad, I was like, I'll forgive my dad once he apologizes and has remorse for his actions. But God had different plans, and God spoke to me and he said, you need to make the first step. And I was like, slow your roll, that ain't happening. I just didn't want to get my heart broken again, and I felt like my dad didn't deserve my forgiveness. But I decided to trust God and dive in and forgive him, which was really hard, but I did it, and it was one of the best decisions I've made in my life. Since forgiving my dad, I have so much joy in life. My relationship with God has skyrocketed. I got baptized last fall. I am reading the Bible every day. I'm praying and talking to God all the time. And God has just blessed my life unconditionally. I felt like the hatred and all the negative thoughts I had for my dad built a wall between a relationship with Jesus. And by me forgiving my dad, I was able to break down that wall and fully experience all that God has for me. But not only did forgiving my dad change my life, it also changed my dad's. His relationship with God has grown, and he apologized and has regret and remorse for so many of his actions. And our relationship is 1,000 times better today than it was just a couple years ago. If you're sitting there today and you're in the same boat as me, and there's someone you need to forgive, I just challenge you to trust God. Just dive in and forgive them so you too can experience all that God has for you. Because me forgiving my dad literally saved my life.
Let's give it up for Lexi today. This is the third service we've shown this video, but she's actually in person in the room today. And so, Lexi, way to go sharing your story. Did you see her joy? Did you hear what happened? Did you hear how Lexi's life changed when she let go and forgave her dad? Did you even hear how her dad's relationship with God changed because Lexi took the first step and forgave? You see, Lexi definitely rocked the boat with her relationship with God when she decided to stop withholding forgiveness and she forgave her dad. Now, Paul, he wrote to the church in Ephesus about this, and it's recorded in Ephesians chapter 4, and it says this: get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ has forgiven you. You see, we need to rock the boat and forgive. And if we're going to make this a statement to live our lives by, it might look something like this. And it's found in the blue box in the middle of your notes. It says that I choose to forgive because God has forgiven me. When someone wrongs us, it hurts. And we want them to pay. We want justice. We want them to be sorry. And for some reason, we believe that if we withhold forgiveness, we're punishing them. It's like saying, I'm going to take this on. I'm not going to forgive it. I've been hurt. And we're holding on to it. It's tying us up. I'm showing them. I'm hurting them. And then I'm wondering, why do I feel stuck? Why do I feel like I can't move? Why do I feel like I'm weighted down and I can't move forward? Why does it feel like God's so far away right now? But we hold on to it. I'm showing them. But are we? Some of us can't bring ourselves to forgive someone because what's been done to us is so hideous and so evil and so wrong that we don't want to say, it's okay, it doesn't matter. But let me tell you, that's not what forgiveness means. Forgiveness is not saying, hey, you know, not allowing what they did to control your life. It is letting go of what happened. It's not saying, it's not conditional on whether or not they're sorry. It's not conditional on whether or not they make up for it. It's not conditional on whether or not they deserve forgiveness. Forgiveness is not about them. Forgiveness is about you. You're the one who has been tied up. You're the one who has been weighted down. You're the one who is chained. And we embrace it as if we're getting justice. And all we're doing is keeping ourselves from what God has for us. I don't know how. It's like they're a part of me now. I'm not sure how to move forward. I'm not sure how to do it. These chains, I'm just tied up. If I wanted to get rid of these chains, what do I need to do? If I don't want to have these chains weighting me down, what do I need to do? If we've learned anything, Elsa keeps saying, let it go. It changes everything. If God can forgive us, then surely we can forgive others. But we've got to do it. It's time to rock the boat, change it up, and it will change everything in your life. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads, to close your eyes as we talk to God right now about forgiveness. God, we're so thankful today that you have forgiven us. And we can't even begin to comprehend how you are able to do that. And yet your challenge to us is that we need to forgive others, and not just a few times, but all the time. 1.95 minutes. over and over and over again. But God, for some of us, we've been hurt bad. God, we've been holding on to the chains of unforgiveness. We can't even imagine life without them. We've been trying to punish someone else for what they did for us, and yet we've been punishing ourselves. God, we want freedom from this. We need your help, God. We want to rock the boat. We want to change things up. God, we want to be like you. God, help us to be able to let it go. So God, may we choose today to forgive those who have hurt us, who have wronged us, to forgive those who have accused us, spread lies about us, who have hurt us and put knives in our backs. God, help us to even forgive ourselves for what we have done to others. God, may today be the day that we rock the boat, that everything changes because we said yes to you, because we're saying, God, I'm going to forgive like you forgive. I'm not going to withhold forgiveness. I'm going to let it go. Help us, God, as we rock the boat today in our lives. Help us, God, as we draw closer to you, God. Let us experience joy. Let us experience freedom. Let us experience, God, the life you have for us. May we grow to the next level in our relationship with you. But God, we first got to release the chains. Drop the chains. Help us, God, to do that today. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. While our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that we began this message saying that if you came today looking for hope, that hope is found in Jesus, and we'd give you the opportunity to receive that hope at the end, and here we are. You see, the truth is we have all messed up. We have all sinned. The Bible says we all fall short of God's standard, and we seek for forgiveness. We seek to fix all the wrongs that we have done, and yet there's nothing that we can do to be made right with God. And if nothing changes, we're destined to live a hopeless life, to die and spend all of eternity apart from God in hell. You may wonder and ask yourselves, how could a loving God send good people to hell? You see, God is so holy, he can't even have sin around him. But let me tell you about the love our God has for us. He loved you and me so much that he made a way when there was no way, that he sent his only son to come down to this planet, not to start a religious movement, not to be a good person, but with one mission, and that was to take on our sin, to be killed for it, because he lived a perfect life. He paid the price, and he conquered death, the grave. God raised him back to life to be the firstborn of many. And because of what Jesus did, we can be forgiven. We can be set free from the bondage of hell and eternity. We can live our lives with hope. We can live our lives with purpose. We can have joy. God can bring focus to our lives. You may say, Pastor, what do I got to do to get what you're talking about? The Bible says that we got to have a conversation with God. We call it prayer. With this prayer, we got to recognize that we're not worthy. There's nothing we can do. It's appropriate to say that we're sorry for our sins. We got to believe. We got to believe that God loved us, that he sent his son Jesus. And then we've got to go all in to decide to say, God, I'm making you the leader, the boss of my life. That it's not about me and it's all about you. You lead, I follow. And it's in that moment we say that prayer that the old life is done, a new life begins. But you're not meant to follow Jesus alone. You're meant to do it as part of a family with others who encourage you, who help you. And that's why we go public with our decision. It's why we celebrate water baptism. We're creating a word picture for everyone who's watching, saying, hey, as I get placed underneath this water, let me tell you, the old me, the me you all knew, It's gone. It's buried. And as I come out of the water, let me tell you, I've got new life that's in Jesus. And I'm following him. He's the leader. He's the boss of me. That's why we love water baptism here. But right now, we're focusing on that first part, the thing that changes everything, that prayer. And I want to help you with that. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray this prayer in bite-sized pieces out loud, and I'm going to encourage you to pray it repeating after me with each part out loud as well. The Bible says it's with our heart that we believe, but it's with our mouth that we say it out loud. God, you're the one in charge of me. But don't worry, you're not praying alone today, because I'm asking the entire Focus family, those in person, those watching online right now, I'm asking the entire Focus family to pray this prayer with us, because this is the most important thing that we do here at Focus Church. We're focused on this. We're focused on helping people find God's place in their life. It's the main thing. And so let's pray this prayer right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.